for where you're at right now because you're not making it in. It's blooping while you're talking.
Well, I've lived through the hole, but I've never had any trouble before, I don't think.
Three times there while you were talking, so we definitely haven't set too high.
Well, I was also running low power. I don't know if that's any better now.
Well, solid. No blips.
Pushed it up to medium power.
That's just further confirmation that it's set too high. Need to capture the exact setting, too, so that we have a reference point.
You still want to try 12 and see what it does, or do you want to go even lower?
Get people like, if we can find Alex, who has a setting that he knows worked before, that setting that allowed him to, on his second floor in his house, he could hit it with 5 watts on a handheld. If he can get in, then that gets it at least as low as it was before, but we don't know if that's low enough to start causing it to kerchunk because of that hump in the noise floor that comes by every now and then. So I'm thinking, and we know Sid can't get in, so if Sid's anywhere around, we can call for him. And if he can get in and he couldn't get in before, then we'll know we're getting close.
Yeah, just based on our test on finding where it opened up while we were there, I think 12 is probably the place to start. And then if those guys still can't get in, we can go lower.
And I haven't heard ND7J since we swapped it over, and you usually hear him by now. So we can give him a shout, and if he's in the ham shack and listening, I have a feeling that he's not able to make it in, and that's why we're not hearing him. And if he's able to make it in, then we're getting close.
And like I said, that's why you don't do it with the knob, because then you don't know where you're at, really.
Like that, and I did do some research on the identifier, and I saw conflicting information. One of them said it was a value that you set in quantities of minutes, but then in another location I saw where it was set to 60, which wouldn't work. So we're going to have to play around with that setting and do the timers that we were doing last night. Wait for it to, you know, trigger a transmit, wait for it to identify, start a timer, and find out where it goes, make a change, and do the same thing all over again. And get that value increased.
I started doing the timing last night. I went out and sat in the truck for part of the net so I could get a little better audio and everything than just on the handy talkie. And I timed it just thinking, oh, maybe it's just a simple, you know, multiple of 10 deal because of the documentation. But obviously it wasn't a multiple of 10. But it certainly is off a little bit in scaling, I think.
That, and we can turn off. So there's two ways you can. The link to A2 is there, is established, but it's deactivated. We can remove it from being established to see if that's the cause of the change, because it would. There's supposed to those variables are not supposed to be global, but it's possible that they are. So we could, first thing we would do is disable that, not just deactivate it, just disable it and then time it. And if that's not it, then we'll have learned that much. And if that is it, it'll fix it. If it's not it, then we start making adjustments to that, that timeout value to change it from being minutes to something higher than minutes, like something that requires more in terms of the value, the numeric value, W4DJW.
Yeah, that could be it. It might just be that, you know, they used different scaling on that number and it didn't make it into the documentation. I've seen that before and other things where they'll say, oh, yeah, you just put the value right in there, and then they forget to say, well, it's not really the value. It's only 11 bits worth of a value, so it's, you know, it's an odd scaling or something. Obviously, it's not going to be that far off in this case, probably.
And then there's the last thing, or the one of three things, is bumping this audio up so everybody doesn't have to turn their volume up really high, which makes it so that you can hear all of the other noises that the computer is picking up, and that's the ALSA mixer. And while you're setting the squelch and the capture audio, I'll be digging up the timer information on modifying the configuration to reset the timer on the identifier so we can multitask W4DJW.
That sounds like a plan. I saw the one you sent with the mixer stuff too, with the screenshot, so I saw both of those and I figured, well, the commands are there, so hopefully I can replicate it.
That's why I put those two in there. And I don't know if Buddy can do terminal emulation that well, right, to use that kind of text graphics that it's using. It's called incurses, is what it is. But we'll find out. If it's not, then I can do it, and we can wait for DNC for you to do it. But I'd like to try to see if Buddy will handle incurses.
Just about that, too. If it doesn't, I might be able to, there's another SSH client out there that probably does it. If this one doesn't, I can get that for the future. But obviously, in long term, I'll get some kind of X server or VNC or something. We'll get that figured out, and we'll have all those options.
One that I've always been using, but it is kind of heavy. to give you an idea of how heavy it is, when you install it new for the first time, if you just tell it to install everything, be prepared just to walk away from your computer for about 3 hours.
That's kind of why I know it makes it better and it's smoother and all that, but that's kind of why if I'm going to just get a remote connection, I just VNC. I know it's heavy on the bandwidth, but I'm spoiled that normally I'm doing all that on a, on a LAN or somewhere where bandwidth isn't a problem, which when you're local, it's not. So that's why normally I say, I'll just default to that, and not go to the extra effort of the other things. But I might need to, and that's not a big deal.
Well, that is quite common. One of the companies that I worked for back when I was a contractor, that's the way they did it. They used Windows PCs, but they logged into Linux servers. And you logged in via VNC, and you set the screen to full display. And then you eventually forgot you were on a Windows PC because you were in Linux all of the time, but you were going through VNC to do it, but you were at full screen, so you never even saw your Windows. So that's not uncommon at all.
Yeah, it's, I'm remoted in VMs all the time. And that's one of the reasons that people ask me, why do you run it in windowed mode? And I said, so I remember which thing I'm on, because if I run everything full screen and I'm just swapping all the time, then sometimes you'll forget which machine you're in.
It's one of the good things about Cygwin is your Windows are right there beside your Unix windows. They're mixed together. So you're in both environments at the same time all the time, and you don't even think about it anymore. And it works really good. You can even copy and paste from Linux to Windows across machines with a Control-C, a Control-V, the same way you do in Windows. So you can forget that you're on two different machines, and that's pretty good when the software allow you to do that.
That is a handy feature. It's one of the reasons why we always keep a remote desktop for Windows machines in the mix, because unlike VNC, you can do copy and paste. And so sometimes we'll use that one. And then we've got a little script where you can throw the RD session right back to the client, so, obviously, you can't share the screen, but it won't leave it locked, the local computer, if you're remoted in. You can throw it back to console, and that's useful, too.
Yeah, but we're going to have to fix that identifier. It's annoying to me.
Get it fixed. Not worried about that. But, yeah, when you're used to it being every 10, it does certainly is noticeable.
Guys there today, they're selling wigs. They're not selling boiled peanuts. Every time I come up here, I try to get some boiled peanuts. but the boiled peanut guy wasn't there. The wig guy is there. I'm at the base of the mountain, getting ready to turn onto the entry to the mountain.
I will probably wind up just slightly ahead of you. I'm on Highway 8, the short section north of 11. So it'll be one of us will make it to 276 intersection with 8 first. I'm not sure. Probably me, though.
I mean, for not planning any further ahead than we did. Not thinking about going till this morning. That's really good planning.
It's a little later than I thought I would. I went ahead and got all my dishes washed and out to dry, so that took me a little longer. So that put me 10 minutes or 15 minutes later than I thought I'd be.
Ahead looking for my second inverter, just so that we could both be plugged in at the same time without having to crack the hut door open, and you had three of them. I didn't know that. But it took me a little bit longer, too, because of hunting for that second inverter. That's okay. I needed to know where it was anyway.
One that is always in the truck. I don't use it very often, but I have it.
I'm at the intersection of 8 and 276 right now. So either I'm ahead of you or I'm behind you. We ought to know that now.
I'm probably a curve or two ahead of you. KG4WNP.
Not any better if we tried. W4DJW.
White, smaller SUV around the curves. I'm ahead of him.
Lights, he went around the next curve as quick as I got through one curve. I'm catching glimpses of him every now and then.
Catching glimpses of him in the rear view, so. But you'll catch up because now I'm behind a gas truck.
Is it red? Because I saw it through the woods.
And on it. It's a propane truck.
Looking up here pretty quick. This guy that's behind you, I'm slowly catching up to him.
As crested rise, I see your taillights behind him.
Medium to low power, because I'll probably, when we get closer, I'll be swamping your front end and vice versa.
That was a good idea. I did the same. I forgot I was on medium because I almost never bump it up. I run low pretty much exclusively when I'm in the truck. So anyway, yeah, that timing was pretty good for no real plant.
W4DJW, I'm on low power now. That truck is doing good. That, coming up this mountain, like handling the curves the way he is.
Well, the driver is the normal route to get used to it. Off here in the subdivision, just after Bald Rock. We'll see.
Well, up here in the morning, isn't it? We don't get up here in the morning that often.
No.
Up here and stop and take some pictures.
Didn't.
Doing that, I'm not comfortable with that yet. I gotta get a few flights under my belt and get used to where the controls are on it so that I don't mess up in mid-flight.
I wouldn't want to do that.
November, Yankee, Kilo, Flash, Romeo, 6-1, repeater. The time is 10 a.m.
Coming up ahead of you. But you'll see him since you got the truck and everything.
I had the opportunity that in those curves to where he was to pass that truck, so I should be catching back up with you now.
If a peppy little car, I wouldn't have been able to pass the SUV and the truck in that distance. Or maybe the SUV passed the truck also.
V stayed back there. Had to go around both of them. But I used up every bit of the available two lanes to do it.
Yeah, it's that one curve there where you get the two. I've scared some people there because they don't realize it's two lanes. And then you come around to them, and all of a sudden they're freaking out and swerving. And it's like, well, didn't you see that the road got wide and there was another lane painted down?
Passed another one because I came up behind somebody and it wasn't you.
Minivan, when we encountered the biker, it was right as the two lanes started in that curve. And they just stopped behind the biker and didn't use the second lane. So I got around them.
W4DJW. Yeah, well, I'm stuck behind him. He isn't going quite as fast as the truck and the SUV.
4WNP. Even though you don't have your drone, when we get done, you could go over to the overlook at Caesar's Head and take a look. Obviously, you can't fly drones there anyway, but might be a nice view today. It was decent yesterday, but with the rain before, it was not as clear as it could be. Today, it might be a little bit clearer.
I don't think you can fly them over there. I don't know if there's any signs. I know in state parks and national parks you can't do it, but I don't know about... I guess you got to look for documentation. A lot of the times they'll have a drone with a circle with a line through it.
Sign up now. You kind of have to put signs up because even when they have it posted somewhere, you know, that people still do it. Of course, I've been places where they have signs all over the place and people still do it. But they got one right out on the going out to the boardwalk to the overlook there.
I passed the minivan, so I might catch up with you now.
Caught up behind two more slow ones, so you'll probably catch me. KG4WNB.
In the fence, I'm just going to see if I can connect from outside the fence. W4DJW.
Knowledge, KG4WNB.